Craig?
Good morning once again. Today's scripture reading comes from Ephesians 5, 1 through 20, and I ask in honor of God's word that we stand if you're able. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an honoring and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak. Okay. For it is shameful even to speak to those of those things which are done by them in secret. Awake, you who sleep. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things that God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Grace to you, shalom from God our Father, from Jesus our Messiah, and from the Holy Spirit who gives us faith. I just thought of one thing Jody said. We're going to be gone next week. We're going to be here next Sunday, okay? Paul and I are leaving on the 15th, which is 2 weeks from today, but we're leaving in the morning, so we won't be here on Sunday the 15th. We're coming back on Sunday the 22nd, so we won't be here that Sunday either. Those two Sundays, Pastor Peter Guadalupe is going to be preaching. So, yes?
I wasn't trying to get rid of you sooner.
Oh, Jody said he wasn't trying to get rid of me sooner. I just wanted to clarify that because it sounded like I wasn't going to be here next week. So, we're going to Colorado. Paula's mother is celebrating her 90th birthday. And Paul and I are flying out there. Annika and their family are driving. And so we're all going to be together. Paula's brother and his son live in Colorado. So we're all kind of a family reunion. We don't have big families either on either side. So kind of a family reunion for us. Looking forward to that. Most of you have played Simon Says at some point in your life. You know, it's a kid's game. Simon Says, and you do whatever Simon says, and then you try to trip him up, and you don't say Simon Says, and they do it, you're out, right? So here in Ephesians 1, 5 verse 1, let me see if I can find that. Here we go. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Imitators of God, Simon says. God says. God says, do this. Do it. God says, don't do this. Don't do it. God says, say this. Say it. God says, don't say this. Don't say it. It's very similar. But it's not like, oh, you goofed up. You're out. You know, it's not like that. That's where mercy and forgiveness come in, and it's a wonderful thing. But think of this: being imitators of God. Think when you were a child. This memory came to me as I was working on this, writing this sermon yesterday. I was maybe 4, maybe 5, and my dad drove one of those big delivery trucks. You know, about as big as you can get without it being a semi with a detached trailer, you know. And I was so impressed, and I was sitting next to him in his truck. We parked on the street in front of our house. Our neighbors hated that. Can't you find a better place to park that, you know. And so I'm sitting next to him, and we're just talking. And I said, Dad, can you drive any vehicle? And he says, yeah, just about, not the great big ones, but just about anything else. I said, wow, do you think one day I could drive a big truck like this? He said, one day, and he picked me up, and he plopped me in his lap, and he put my hands on the wheels, and he started making motor noises. I was learning to drive. I was just like my dad. I was walking in his steps. I was being an imitator. And you grew up doing the same thing. Maybe it was your mom. Maybe it was a brother. Maybe it was a sister. But you learn to imitate. That's how you learn. That's how you grow. Be imitators of God as dear children. Do you look at God as Father? Sometimes we have bad relationships with our father. We say, well, I don't want to think of God as Father. I'm thinking, hey, if I have a bad relationship with my father, I want the perfect father. I want to look to God as Father. He's the one who knows how to love me. He's the one who knows how to lead me and guide me. Be imitators of God as dear children. So how are we supposed to imitate God? How are we supposed to walk in his footsteps? Oops, went too far. I thought I had verse 2 up there. Do I have verse 2 up there? No, went to verse 3. So, verse 2 says, walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us. Walk in love. What kind of love do you suppose this is that's described here? Agape. God's unconditional love. Walk in love, as Christ has given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling aroma. You've been around things that just, oh, man, that smells so good. And when we do things that please God like Christ did, how did Christ please God in this verse? As an offering. He gave himself. He gave himself for you. He gave himself for me. And to God, that's a sweet-smelling aroma. Don't you like to be around things that smell good? We talked about stinky diapers last week or the week before, right? Nobody likes that. But, oh, something that smells good, wow, I can just sit and soak. God loves that. And when we do the things that please him, when we give ourselves, when we sacrifice for someone else in unconditional love, that's a sweet-smelling aroma to God. Blows my mind that God loves me so much that even for the worst parts of my life, he says, I love you, and I'm willing to give myself as that sacrifice for you. I don't understand that. You know what? You do something bad, you do something I don't like, what's my first response? Well, who do you think you are? No, God isn't like that. He loves us in spite of those things. That's what mercy is. That's what his grace is all about. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. And yet he loves us that much. Even more than we can think or imagine. It says earlier in Ephesians. It's so beyond what we can take in and understand. So, how do we not walk in love? I'm not going to get into any depth in this. I'm just going to read these verses again, starting in verse 3. But fornication, that's sex outside of marriage, all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, no unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ our God. No inheritance. Those are big words, but you know what they mean. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. That doesn't mean you can't associate with them. You can't know them. You can't show them God's love. It doesn't mean that at all. It's not like you're going to shun, you know, well, I'm going to live in this little holy bubble. But realize that their lifestyle is not one that God wants. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in trespass and in trespasses, oh, this is from Galatians 6. This is how we're supposed to love them, okay? You know somebody that's overtaken in any trespass? You who are spiritual, restore such a one. How? In a spirit of gentleness. Did I see what you just did, brother? Who do you think you are? No. A spirit of gentleness. Why? Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. What do you think I'm tempted to do to be when I'm correcting someone else? Self-righteous, sanctified, holier than thou. That's stinky. That's not an aroma pleasing to God. Stinky self-righteousness. No, restore them in a spirit of gentleness. Brother, I've been in the trenches. I've fought the fight. I know what this is like. Man, it is a hard, hard struggle. And without God, we fail every time. Restore one in a spirit of gentleness. So, as born-again believers, we're supposed to walk in love. That's love. That's agape. Now, we go to walking in light in verse 8, I think it is. Yeah. For you were once darkness, but now you are light. You know, I didn't notice this till just this second. I thought it said you were once in darkness, and now you are in light. Doesn't say that, does it? You were once darkness. And when you come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, now you are light, light in the Lord. Now walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. I was once in darkness, or I was once darkness. What's it like to live being darkness? It's not easy. I have to say that as I was writing this, I was using the idea in darkness. So you got to just hear that, the difference. You ever been in a strange place and the lights go out and you got to feel your way around so you don't smash into something and hurt something? Usually it's at night when you're in a strange motel. You ever stubbed your toe really bad in the dark in a strange motel trying to find your way to the bathroom? Oh man, it is not good. It's probably when you don't think those godly thoughts. But now you're light. You know what? I believe that Adam and Eve were created in light. And so I want to take us to Genesis. Oops. I missed it. I'll get to it in a second. In Genesis, you know the story of Genesis when God created us. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Now, this is before they eat the fruit. They're naked and they're not ashamed. And I've come up with this idea that they were light, they were beings of light. Okay? Now, where did I get this from? And that's the verse I'm going to put up here now. No, that's not it. Oh, I did have it. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Somehow these got out of order. And I don't know what he did. This is from the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus goes up on the mountain. He takes James and John, Peter, James, and John with him, and he starts to glow, right? It says that as Jesus prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening, and behold, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah. Okay, this is the Mount of Transfiguration, right? They were glowing. These are human beings who are without sin. Now, we have Jesus. We know he's born, lived without sin. He's the one who's glowing. Who else shows up? Moses and Elijah. Now, they had died a long time ago, but they came. God sent them from heaven, wherever they were. God sent them. Now, they are humans without sin because they've been sanctified by God in eternity. And they're all glowing. Okay? Who appeared in glory. This is that same text from Luke 9. Who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. They're talking about Jesus' death on the cross, his decease. In the Greek, it actually says his exodus. Decease is the word exodus in Greek. I don't know why they don't use that here. It's much clearer to me. They're talking about what he's going to do on the cross and lead God's people out into the promised land of heaven, what Jesus is going to accomplish on the cross. So after Adam and Eve eat the fruit, the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked. Now before, they were naked and not ashamed. They eat the fruit, and now they know, we're naked. And they tried to cover themselves. What happened? This is my theory, is that the light went out. They're creatures of light. God created us without it, no darkness. We were light. When we come to be born again and saved in Jesus Christ, that light is renewed. That light is restored. We are no longer darkness, but now we are light. Walk in light is what we're supposed to do. You know this song? You know this song? I Saw the Light? Do you think we could just handle the chorus a cappella? Just the chorus? Think we could do that? Could you start us off, Craig? I'm going to put the words up on the screen, just of the chorus. Can you start us off?
I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Now we walk in light. We walk in love, we walk in light. And the next thing that Jesus calls us to is that we walk And I'm going to skip down to Ephesians 5:15. See then that you walk circumspectly. How many of you use that word this week? Circumspectly. What does that mean? Circumference. Well, circumference, it means to go around, but it means to be careful, to be watchful, to be discreet, to be cautious, to be prudent. That's how you're supposed to walk. Circumspectly means those things. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Are the days evil? Man, it's changed a lot in my lifetime.
Boy, if you, Sonny, if you've seen the changes that I've seen in my day,
I'm getting to that age where I can do that now. Redeeming the time. That means make use of the time. Oh, you know, I can just sit back and say, oh, well, things are really bad. I think I'm just going to sit here and say things are really bad. No, redeeming the time because the days are evil. He's given us his light. He's given us his love. He's given us his wisdom. He says, walk in these ways. Do these things. Show them my love. That's what it's all about. If I'm walking in those ways of what circumspect means, watchful, discreet, cautious, or prudent, I'm walking in wisdom. Walking, but not in my strength. That's something that it's so easy to hit the floor running. You know, you got a busy day and you don't stop and pray. You don't start the day and say, Lord, help me. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, give me what I need this day to be your servant so that I can walk in love, so that I can walk in light, so that I can walk in wisdom, so that you can help me show others how that time is redeemed in your hands. Because the days are evil. Makes me think of this little story about these two guys who had this tree cutting competition with hand axes. Okay? And man, this one guy, he just cut. He, you know, what do you call it when you swing an axe at a tree?
Chop.
Thank you. I couldn't think of the word. He chopped and chopped and chopped and chopped. And every once in a while, his competitor would stop chopping. You know what he did when he stopped? He didn't take a nap. He didn't eat. He sharpened his axe. And then he went back and chopped more and chopped more and chopped more. At the end of the day, the guy who stopped and sharpened his axe cut down more trees. That's what we need to do. We need to stop and say, Lord, help me. Lord, I can't do it in my strength. I can't do it in my power. I can't walk in love or wisdom or light unless you're the one that's supplying the love and the light and the wisdom. We come to verse 17, which is a very, very powerful verse. I just got a little note here that my thing isn't working, so you're going to have to change it to verse 17 in the sound booth. Thank you. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What's God's will? How do you know what God's will is? Well, I'll tell you what, there's a heck of a lot of stuff in here in the Bible that tells us what his will is. Have you read it? Have you studied it? Have you prayed it? There's all kinds of stuff so that you can know God's will is. Is it right for me to condemn another person out of self-righteousness? Is that God's will? No. We know all kinds of things that what God's will is and what God's will isn't from his word. And it says, when we understand what the will of the Lord is, we will be what? What's the beginning of this word say? Verse say. So if we do what God's will is, we are wise. Absolutely. So God calls us to do those things. Can you imagine going to God, specifically the Holy Spirit, who is the author of God's word, and saying, Lord, as I come before your word, and as I'm about to read it, give me insight, give me understanding, give me help. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit going, no, Chris, not going to do that. If you wrote a book and you knew a lot about a certain subject and somebody came up to you and said, hey, Jeff, I read your book, but I don't understand this. Can you explain that to me? Can you help me understand that? You think Jeff's going to go, nah. Of course not. The Holy Spirit delights in those things when we come to him. And so when we come before his word, it's equally important that we pray, that we ask him to open our eyes, to give us wisdom and understanding of how to use his word. Go to the next slide, John 14:26. Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit. He said, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Oh, what did the word say? What was that? Lord, help me remember. Help me see. Help me understand what your word says so that I can see and say and do the things you're calling me to do. Do you remember? Put up the next slide. Do you remember this? Instead of what would Jesus do, WWJD, let's make it WWJS. What would Jesus say? And I want to take you to a verse in John. I think it's John 5, whatever the next slide is. No, it's John 12, sorry. Jesus said, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. So where did Jesus get what he was supposed to say and what he's supposed to speak? From the Father. So if we ask, what would Jesus say? What would Jesus say? What God says. So it all comes back together and we go to him and say, help me to know what to say in this situation. Lord, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Help me. These little arrow prayers that we shoot off just in the silence of our head. You don't have to follow your, you're having a conversation with somebody and they ask you a question about God and you don't know what to say. You don't fall to your knees and say, oh, Lord, help me. You can just say, Lord, help me in the silence of your mind. Help me to know what I should say to this person. God will put something in your mind that you say to them. Okay, let's go on to Ephesians 5:18 through 20. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation. This is a common, well-known stuff. Just don't get drunk. What are we supposed to do instead? Be filled with the Spirit. That's a daily thing. Lord, fill me with your Spirit this day that I may glorify you in all that I say and do. A little prayer like that as you start your day. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I saw the light. Can we do that with one another? Hey, brother, I saw the light. Let me tell you what happened. I was in darkness. Now I'm in light. Tell them what's changed, how God has molded your life or shaped you or given you something that you never would have understood before without him. Singing songs, another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Do you ever walk around just with a song kind of floating through your head? Craig said all the time. I can't say all the time. But you know what? I hear somebody singing something or I turn on the radio when I get in the car. It's renewing. It's refreshing. Okay, let's go on to verse 20. The next slide. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. I had a crummy day. But you were with me. Thank you. Thank you that I saw shake today. Thank you that this happened. Do you end the day on your knees? Or you don't have to be on your knees. Do you end your day in prayer, thanking God for what happened the day? Start the day asking for help, end the day thanking him for having gotten you through the day. and forgive me for all the blunders I made it during the day. And day by day, we keep the slate clean. So, let's go to the next slide. Walk in God's love, God's light, and God's wisdom. Amen. Now may the shalom of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Won't you stand with us as you're able as we